Good morning, everybody. Are you awake this morning? Good to be with you this morning. For all of you online as well, good to be with you all. We're all here today in the name of Jesus. I'm going to ask you to stand as we read some scripture. We're going to have a fun time today. We're going to have a good time today. Second Chronicles should be your friend by the end of today. Second Chronicles chapter 32, verses 1 through 3 says, "After all that Hezekiah had so faithfully done, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came and invaded Judah. He laid siege to the fortified cities, thinking to conquer them for himself. When Hezekiah saw that Sennacherib had come and that he intended to wage war against Jerusalem, he consulted with his officials and military staff about blocking off the water from the springs outside the city. And they helped him." Second Chronicles, going to be your friend, right? Second Chronicles 32:20 says, "King Hezekiah and the prophet Isaiah, son of Amos, cried out in prayer to heaven about this." Okay? Father, we lift before you this morning as we pause from our crazy busy lives to come and worship the living God today. We've left our homes and we come to this house, this assembly of believers, for the purpose of worshiping God, the one true God, the living God. And we come to worship you, Lord, in spirit and in truth. We come with our hearts, we come with our minds. We ask, God, that you would send your spirit upon us today. And Lord, I pray that you would speak to your people today, Jesus. You're the one that said that your sheep will hear your voice and follow you. Jesus, would you speak into us today? We pray this for your glory. We pray this in your name. And all those who love Jesus would say, amen. Amen. And good morning. It's so good to be with you all. So this morning I want to show you a picture of two good friends of mine. Let's see if you can see that one. I want to show you a picture of two really good friends of mine, Mike and Terry. Okay? Now, for all of you that's been coming to Woodbridge and this has become your church home after a while, Mike and Terry's become your friends too. I mean, if you meet these two, they're amazing. And you might notice that maybe there's some slight differences in Mike and Terry. There's a few things that Mike and Terry don't have in common, okay? Maybe you might notice those, but there is a lot of things that Mike and Terry have in common. They're brothers in Christ. They've been washed in the blood of Jesus. All their sins have been removed from them, past, present, and future. They all have accepted Christ in their life, the Messiah. Their names are recorded in heaven. The work of the cross falls upon Mike and upon Terry. There's a lot of things that these two have in common. They both have ridden on a boat on the Sea of Galilee. They both have traveled with me up to the streams of Banias and up to Mount Hermon where those streams flow into the Jordan River that flows into the Sea of Galilee. They both have seen crusader castles up in the northern part of Israel with me. They both have floated on the Dead Sea. They've ridden camels in the Judean wilderness. And these two brothers have traveled through a water cistern called Hezekiah's Tunnel that's in Jerusalem today. I want to talk about Hezekiah's Tunnel. It's an amazing thing, and I'm going to show you two maps. I need you to try to understand what it is that Hezekiah did 2,700 years ago. The Assyrians were coming to invade Judea and Jerusalem itself, and he somehow created a water tunnel that started up on the northern part and it flows down in. He blocked it up and covered it up. This tunnel is 1,750 feet long, or one third of a mile, cut out of solid rock by hand and chisel 2,700 years ago. It was created again to bring water from outside the city of the Kidron Valley into Jerusalem. And it's actually kind of fun. They began digging it in two teams. One group began cutting from the pools of Siloam up, and the other one started up where actually the spring was. And you can see that they had to try to figure out how to meet in the middle. And when you go through this tunnel, it's not a straight tunnel. It's an S turn the whole way as they're trying to figure out what this is. Now, if you ever were to go to this tunnel with Pastor Frank, and next year I'm leading a group again to the land of Israel, it looks like we're going to finally pull this off. And if you want to go with me and walk in the land of Jesus, you can. We're leaving March of 2022. What we do is we prepare people. It's toward the end of our trip. We start off on the Mediterranean Sea. We go up the Galilee. We spend a lot of time up there. We're there about 10 days. And as we come up to Jerusalem this one morning, we prepare people saying, hey, this morning you need to bring your shorts. This morning you need to bring your water shoes. This morning you're going to get wet up to about your waist. And here comes a tunnel that you're going to be going through. So if you're claustrophobic, you might not want to do this, right, type of thing. And we show up, it's an amazing archaeological find. You go down stairs that are 42 feet down. 42 feet down. And then when you get there, these are the stairs as you're going down there. And when you finally get 42 feet down, you begin walking through a tunnel. I want you to take a close look at this tunnel. This tunnel was cut out by hand with a hammer and a chisel. 2,700 years ago. These are pictures, and I took these. This is Shinobu and Martin. They went with me, I think it was 2010. It's 16 feet at some points, and it's only 5 feet in others. As you can guess, maybe, can you guess between Mike and Terry which one probably struggled more in this tunnel? Should I have another picture? Can't remember. Is that the last one of that? Okay. Oh, there you go. Okay, cool. Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. As you're going through this tunnel, and you look and you see these chisel marks, and you're moving here and there, it's incredible. Hezekiah's tunnel, and as I look at this tunnel, it's a monument to fear. Fear. 2,700 years ago, King Hezekiah became afraid of the invasion of the Assyrians into his kingdom. The Assyrians took the 10 tribes of Israel, conquered the northern tribe. Hezekiah saw that happening, and he began building this water tunnel because, FYI, if an army is going to besiege your city, they'll just wait till you can't drink anymore. You want water in order to survive a siege. And so this tunnel is actually a monument to fear. Fear. In the last year and a half, have you experienced fear? What things have you been afraid of in the last year and a half? What a crazy season of humanity we're living in. Do I hear an amen? I said this a few weeks ago, you know, what spread faster than COVID-19? And the answer is fear spread faster than this biological disease, per se. Fear is defined as a state of mind experiencing a threatening situation and resulting in behavior which is designed to escape or avoid the threat, if it's real or imagined. It's a powerful emotion which can grip with paralyzing terror caused by nearness of danger or perceived danger. See, I know you. I've heard you. We've journeyed through the last year and a half together, and many of us in this room all went through it together. The fears that we went through that were rational and irrational, like toilet paper shortages. That was an irrational fear, right? But there was a clear and present danger, and there is. People were dying and have died and continue to die. And there was so much confusion last year and a half. And we all went through fears. And a lot of it, I think, is just because there was so much conflicting information. We didn't know what was true or not true. So we said, hey, man, let's do a series called Pressing Through Fear. And we started this series, you know, a while back. Rabbi Feldman came and spoke about the sovereignty of God, that God is sovereign. Pastor Graham came and spoke about Jesus and the storm. And, you know, the safest place you can be, even if you're in a boat on a storm, if you're with Jesus, that's the safest place you can be is in the presence of God. We talked about Joshua. The opposite of fear in the Bible is courage. Be strong and courageous. Have I commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Why? For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Last Sunday was a special Sunday as we did Mission Sunday, and a great warrior of the Lord, a missionary that we had in India, passed away from COVID, Pastor Moses. And that man just lived his life to the very end. Fear. There's been a lot of fear going on. This morning I want us to look at an amazing person in the Old Testament. His name's King Hezekiah. And to me, Hezekiah is a case study in how a person deals with fears. How he processed fears, how he dealt with fears. I love King Hezekiah, and I want you as well. By the end of today, I pray that you would know him a bit better, and you go, man, God's going to speak to you today through this man. King Hezekiah, the way he dealt with his fears was awesome. And it's interesting, King Hezekiah is one of those few good kings in a sea of bad leadership in with the Israelites. You can read about Hezekiah in the book of 2 Kings, in the book of 2 Chronicles, and even the prophet Isaiah has a few chapters dedicated to him in verses 35 through 39. And when you read Hezekiah, you immediately begin to meet this kid, and you can pretty much see that he had personal fears, and he had personal fears that were internal and external. One of his internal fears is he didn't want to be like his dad. He didn't want to be like his dad. King Hezekiah, if you want to meet this guy, you can begin processing his life. He had an internal fear. He did not want to be like his father. I have no idea if that was a fear that possibly you had growing up. I don't want to be like my mom or my dad or my parents. That seems to be a real fear for a lot of people. Whatever your situation is, I would venture to say that Hezekiah's dad was worse than yours. Okay? And here's a sample of Hezekiah's dad. Hezekiah's dad was King Ahaz. And in 2 Chronicles 28, 1 through 4, just a little FYI, Ahaz was 20 years old when he became king. And he reigned in Jerusalem 16 years. Unlike David, his father, King David he's the king through which all the kingdoms, all the kings would come from. And when they say King David is the epitome of a man after God's own heart. A godly king and a godly man. Unlike David, his father, he did not do what was right in the eyes of the Lord. He followed the ways of the kings of Israel and also made idols to worshiping Baal or Baal. He burned sacrifices in the valley of Ben Hinnom and he sacrificed his children in the fire. Engaging in detestable practices of the nations the Lord had driven out before the Israelites. He offered sacrifices and burned incense at the high places, on the hilltops, and under every spreading tree. Ahaz worshipped the god of Baal, and a part of Baal and Asherah Moloch was children's sacrifice, and they would sacrifice their babies to this god. That's a bad dad. Imagine a dad taking his kid and sacrificing it to foreign god in a pagan service. Is Hezekiah's dad worse than yours? Did your dad, Hezekiah's a piece of work, people. He totally forsook the Lord. He forbid the worship of God. He closed the doors of the temple in Jerusalem, and he took all the gold and all the valuable things and sent them off. He was having a problem trying to beat Damascus in war, and he called the Assyrians to come help him. He paid them to come and help him. He's a terrible man. Can you imagine that being your dad? He dies. Hezekiah becomes king. And this guy did not want to be like his father. And when you read him, you're going to love him in 2 Chronicles. He begins worshiping the God of Israel. He begins seeing the problems why my dad was such a turd and why he couldn't win in battle and because God was not with him. And Hezekiah began a great revival in the land of Israel. I mean, he opened the doors of the temple. He cleaned it out. He consecrated the Levites and the priests. He told all the people, this is why everything's going in the toilet. We need to worship God again. He created a revival in the land that was amazing. And he began, God began blessing him. He was awesome. And in 2 Kings, it says this about him, and it's actually incredible that you would be recorded like this in history. And I just want to read it. 2 Kings 18, 2 through 6. He was 25 years old when he became king. This is Hezekiah. He reigned in Jerusalem 29 years. Lists his mother's name and so forth. Verse 3 says, he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. Are you doing what was right in the eyes of the Lord? Just as his father David had done. Not Ahaz, but King David, right? He removed the high places, smashed the sacred stones, and cut down the Asherah poles. He broke into pieces the bronze snake that Moses had made. For up to that time, the Israelites had been burning incense. They made that an idol as well. Look at this. Hezekiah trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel. There was no one like him among all the kings of Judah. Wow. Either before him or after him. He held fast to the Lord and did not stop following him. He kept the commandments of the Lord God had given him. This is Hezekiah. He was amazing. He totally didn't become his dad, and he became one of the greatest kings. I mean, if you imagine having that on your tombstone. Here lies the greatest king that Judah ever had. As King Hezekiah is living this out, something really bad happens. The Assyrians came. I think in the fourth year of his reign, they came and destroyed the 10 tribes of Israel. His dad summoned them to beat Damascus, but they just kept coming. And I think in the year 16, it says this, 2 Chronicles 32, 1 through 2. After all that Hezekiah had so faithfully done, I mean, he was amazing. Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came and invaded Judah. And he laid siege to the fortified cities, thinking to conquer them for himself. And people, this is a real problem. This is a real problem. These were not Sunday school teachers coming to get you. The Assyrians, if anyone remembers their Western Civ, the Assyrians was the first empire that operated on terrorism and fear. They were the bullies of the Middle East, and they were ruthless and brutal. And if you look at the Bible, it's so amazing. If you look at the archaeology of Hezekiah's tunnel, if anyone's ever been to the British Museum in London, the British Empire pillaged some of the best stuff from the Middle East. Praise God in many respects, because it's been preserved. If you ever go to the British Museum, they have a whole section on the Assyrians. And they have a whole section. Sennacherib was so proud of his work that he actually recorded what he did in tablets. And there is this thing in the museum called the Siege of Lachish. And here's a picture, if anyone been to the British Museum, but this is amazing. It's history. Sennacherib, and this is called the Siege of Lachish. As he was surrounding this city that was southwest of Jerusalem, it was the last fortified city before going to Jerusalem, he documented how he surrounded the city and how he destroyed the city and how he murdered the inhabitants of the city. Somewhere along this, and it's all in a timeline, and it's kind of interesting because as he's doing this, he has written in this tablet, I have caged up King Hezekiah like a bird in a cage. He speaks of his name. And when you walk through this, there's this one picture, this next one, if you'd shoot it up. What do you see? What did the king of Assyria do to the people of Lachish? He impaled them. And there's other pictures that are more disgusting than this, where he cut their head, decapitated them, skinned them alive. Would you be afraid if the Assyrians was coming for you? Anyone? Did Hezekiah have a right? Was his fear irrational or rational? Rational. When he starts cutting out the water cisterns, the people that were there, it's so cool when you walk through this tunnel, for me as a historian, I love history. I think of the people cutting it and the emotion that was going through their mind that they're coming. And they are cutting out a water cistern for their own life and their own survival. See, King Hezekiah had a right to be afraid. And yet I love how in the midst of his fears, how he faced his fears. I want you to see how Hezekiah faced his fears, and I pray that it blesses you. Because it blesses me. We read this, but I want to read it again. Here comes 2 Chronicles 32, 1 through 3. It says, after all that Hezekiah had so faithfully done, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came to invade Judah. This is history, people. This is not in a galaxy far, far away. This is real. It really happened. This is real stuff. It says he laid siege to the fortified cities. He said he took 42 of them, I think. Lachish was the last one before going to the capital. When Hezekiah saw that Sennacherib had come, that he had intended to wage war against Jerusalem, what does he do? He consulted, he planned with his officials and military staff. And the first thing they said is, we need a water tunnel. We need to have a secure water. And they built Hezekiah's tunnel. We have to block off the water from the springs outside the city. And they helped him. I love that. He consulted with his people. But when you read 32, he planned, he consulted. But I love this. King Hezekiah in verse 32:20 says, King Hezekiah and the prophet Isaiah, son of Amos, cried out in prayer to the heavens about this. I want you to take notes of me this morning. If King Hezekiah is a case study in how to deal with fear, here's note number one. Are you ready? Hezekiah dealt with his fears by praying and by planning. Write that down. He dealt with his fears by praying and by planning. It wasn't either or, it was both. And I love this because sometimes people fall into one of these two camps. I'm in the praying camp, or I'm in the prayer, or I'm in the preparation and planning camp. And all of us seem to lean one way or another, the praying camp or the preparing and planning camp. Which one do you lean more towards? Right? I mean, the praying camp. I'm just praying about this. You know, Pastor Frank got to be a professor of Biola for a few years, which I loved, an adjunct, you know, and my students are graduating college. Hey, what are you going to do? I'm looking for a job. Oh, that's great. What are you doing about it? I'm just praying. Professor, why not? I'm just praying. I'm like, okay. I'm just praying that I get a job after I get out of college. And, do you have a resume? Have you done internships? Or have you, I'm just praying, the praying camp, right? I'm afraid of being alone. I want to start dating somebody, so I've just been praying. Right? And, oh, Pastor Frank, I'm overweight and I need to start losing weight and I've just been praying. Right? The praying camp, or the planning and preparation camp, where they're just preparing. I see it. I'm going to get it done. And they don't stop and pray. Hezekiah was both and. He was praying and planning, man. And you can go through this tunnel and see how this guy planned. They've actually dug out. It says in Chronicles, you got to read it. He built weapons. He was repairing the walls. There's a section of a wall, archaeology in Jerusalem today. The sucker's 20 feet thick. And it's from the time of Hezekiah. He was reinforcing and building walls. He was praying. He was preparing water cisterns, weapons, and, you know, for a ramming siege against the walls. Hezekiah was this kind of guy in the midst. These are real present fears. It's coming. And he prayed, man. And he planned. Which one do you do? Which one do you lean toward more? Hopefully you married someone that's the opposite of you. If you're married. Because you balance each other out. You pray. And you plan. King Hezekiah, he does both. It's a both and. It's not one or the other. It's both and, right? I love that. Note number two, write this down. Hezekiah dealt with his fears by praying and planning, right? And by identifying the lies. Identifying the lies. It's amazing when you read, and just in the scriptures as well as in the archaeology in London today, it says that as Sennacherib was attacking Lachish by name, he sent a delegation and a group of soldiers up to Jerusalem. And the purpose of this delegation was to talk trash. And they went up, and here's the fortified city of Jerusalem, the capital of the nation. And there is King Hezekiah and his people. And this army shows up, a portion of the army of the Assyrians, and they begin yelling out at the people that King Hezekiah is deceiving all of you. And they're speaking in Hebrew, not in Aramaic, in Hebrew. So all of them would hear that Hezekiah is a bad king, and he says that your God's going to save you. None of the other gods of all the other nations we've wiped out have saved them, and your God isn't going to save you either. They begin taunting him. You don't have hardly anybody in your city. I'll give you 2,000 horses if you can just put people on them. You people are going to eat your dung and drink your urine. You guys are toast. I mean, it was trash talk. It's fear. We're bringing fear. We're coming for you next. And it's so, when you read this, the people heard it. And then a letter was given to the king. Trash talking. Actually, this is kind of cool. I just want to, in the prophet Isaiah, it gives a little of the trash talk. You want to hear it? Here's a little of the trash talk, okay? Isaiah 36, 18 through 20. Don't let Hezekiah mislead you when he says the Lord will deliver us. Have the gods of any nations ever delivered their lands from the hand of the king of Assyria? Where are the gods of Hamathra and Arpad? Where are the gods of Zepharim? And have they rescued Samaria from my hand? Who of all the gods of these countries have been able to save their lands from me? How can the Lord deliver Jerusalem from my hand? But the people remained silent, said nothing in reply, because the king had commanded, don't even talk to him, right? His palace administrators and their secretaries, they record all this. They go to Hezekiah and they tear their clothes like this is bad. And this letter is delivered to the king. And you know what? When this letter is handed to King Hezekiah, do you want to know what he did with it? Isaiah 37, 14. Hezekiah received the letter from the messengers. He read it. And then he went up to the temple of the Lord and spread it out before the Lord. Isn't that brilliant? How many of our problems have you spread it out? Wouldn't it be great if we just took all the social media stuff being said about us and we just spread it out before the Lord? Here it is, Lord. He didn't panic. He didn't react. See, in your moments of fear, you have to control your thoughts, people. In your moments of fear, you have to control your thoughts. And who helps you do that? God does. In your moments of fear, you have to control your thoughts. So Mike was leading our part. Mike, stand up. There he is. So Mike became our leader when we were going through Hezekiah's tunnel. Okay? And Mike's like, Pastor Frank, I'm leading, and I think I was in the rear, and we were, right? So Mike's leading our group, and it started out 16 feet. Mike's taller than 5 feet. Okay? I just want you all to know that. Okay, thank you, Mike. I love this guy. Mike is leading us through the tunnel. It's a quarter mile long. A third of a mile long. Do you remember Mike? At one point, Mike says, Pastor Frank, how much longer? When Billy Bob went through it, his famous words were halfway through it, this is the stupidest thing I've ever done. Right? Right? Man, if Mike had a panic at that moment and he wanted to go back or sit and stop. I mean, Mike, just keep on going, you know? His back is scraping the walls. And we as this group, we started humming the Indiana Jones song. Da 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 da. And Mike just kept plugging us through, going through the tunnel, right? We started singing songs in there. In the midst of your fears, you have to control your thoughts. It's so critical. Or you'll just panic. Hezekiah gets this. He gets the letter, he reads it, and I'm going to God. He went right up to the house of the Lord, the temple, Solomon's temple, and laid it out before God. He took it to the Lord. And in 2 Kings, it actually reads his prayer. 2 Kings 19, 14-29, Hezekiah received the letter from the messengers. He read it, and then he went up to the temple of the Lord, and he spread it out before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed to the Lord, Lord, the God of Israel, enthroned between the cherubim, you alone are God, there is no one else, over all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made heaven and earth, you're the creator. Give ear, Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, Lord, and see and listen to the words of Sennacherib. He has sent to ridicule the living God. He's talking trash to you, God, right? He's able to decipher the lies. He says, it is true, Lord, the Assyrian kings have laid waste to nations in their lands. This is all true. They have thrown down their gods into the fire and destroyed them. For they were not gods, but only wood and stone, these idols that people worshipped. They're not gods. They throw them, you burn them. They have thrown their gods into the fire and destroyed them. For they're not gods, but wood and stone, fashioned by human hands. Now, Lord our God, deliver us from his hand, so that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you alone, Lord, our God. Do you like him? Isn't King Hezekiah awesome? He saw the lies in the letter. Yes, this is true and you did this, but you haven't met my God. My God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. My God is the God that parts the Red Sea, that humbled the king of Egypt. My God. Yeah, all these other gods, they weren't gods. He was able to see the lies. Are you able to see the lies in the midst of your fears? There's a lot of times we're afraid of things that are not true or half-truths. They're not right. The data is flawed. Hezekiah, he prays, he plans, and he's able to identify the lies. He's able to, that's not true. One of my professors in seminary said, if Satan can get you to believe a lie, he can control your life. To be deceived, being deceived is such a bad thing because people that are deceived don't know that they are deceived. They're living their life on bad data. You've got to sift it through. This last year, wasn't this a crazy year? What is true and not true? What is the data? Conflicting and changing constantly. Somehow, Hezekiah was able to take a handle of his fears. He prayed, he was planning, and he identified the lies. And here's an acronym for you. Fear. And I put this down. Take this as notes. Fear is false evidence appearing real. Sometimes fear, our fears, is based on false evidence that it's appearing real. It's not real. All of us has got to learn to do what King Hezekiah did. He was able to see the truth from the lies, false evidence appearing real. You have to sift through it in the midst of your fears to see what is true and not true. And what are the half-truths? He controlled his fears. He was looking at the evidence. He was looking at the truth. Hezekiah is awesome. To me, he's a case study in how of dealing through fear. He was a man of prayer. He was a man that prepared. And he was a man that was able to get a handle on what is true. He could see the lies. That's not true. In the midst of his fears, write this down. Hezekiah sought wise counsel. Man, when you're afraid, who's speaking into your life? It's interesting, we were talking about this with the pastors this week as we were all looking at this message. And Pastor Vince says, it's so interesting. It's very rare in the Bible that you see a king and a prophet be buddies. Most of the time, the prophets came to bring judgment on the kings because they were leading the people astray. And these was the job of the prophets. They were covenant enforcers. But yet, all of a sudden, we read Hezekiah. And the prophet of the day in Jerusalem was Isaiah. Isaiah, the man. Isaiah, Jesus' favorite prophet. Jesus quoted Isaiah more than any other prophet. Isaiah. Isaiah was friends with Hezekiah. They were on the same page because Hezekiah was a good king. And it's interesting that you see Hezekiah going to Isaiah, seeking wise counsel. And you rarely see this in scriptures. But Hezekiah surrounded himself with good people. And this is what it says, 2 Kings 19:6. Isaiah, he says, after he gets this, he goes, Isaiah, talk to me. He actually sent messengers. And Isaiah gets a word from the Lord. Man, I love. Wouldn't it be nice if you had a friend like that? And it says in 2 Kings 19:6, Isaiah said to them, tell your master, this is what the Lord says. God speaks now through his prophet. Do not be afraid of what you've heard. Those words which the underlings of the king of Assyria blasphemed me. It's cool. Isaiah gets a word from the Lord and he says, hey, King Hezekiah, don't listen to anything that's being said outside the walls of the city. Because that guy has blasphemed me and I'm going to deal with him. Actually, it's pretty cool when you read in Isaiah, it says, a shield will not come up against this city. Not one arrow is even going to be shot at this city. I will deal with this man, God says, right? Actually, that's a sermon for 2 weeks from now as we'll talk about who you should really fear. There are things you should be afraid of and things you should not be afraid of. There's one thing that we all need to have a solid fear of. Do you know who that is? The living God. It's Sennacherib took this on another realm, and God just says, I'm taking him out. That's for another day. Isaiah tells us, Hezekiah and Isaiah, good friend, who is speaking into your life? You want to, he's a case study of how he deals with fears. He plans, he prepares, he's a person that can sift through the lies, and he's a person that seeks wise counsel. In the midst of his fears, he has people around him that could speak into his life and the things of God. And I ask you, who are the people that are speaking into your life? Who have you surrounded your life with? Show me your friends and I'll show you your future. That's what I told my kids growing up. Who are your friends? Who have you surrounded your life with? Who's speaking into your life? Proverbs 13:20, you just love so many of these, right? He who walks with wise men will be wise. But the companion of fools suffer harm. Is your friends fools? Or are they wise? You ever seen a group of people just go do really stupid stuff? Guess why? Group. They just follow each other into folly. Who is speaking into your life? You know, so we have this thing called sermon-based growth groups here, and I hope and pray that all of you are in a small group, in a growth group. And every week here, people take the notes, and they gather in homes, they gather throughout the city, every week, day of the week, pretty much. and they walk through this. And it's what's so cool about this is, yeah, you can take the sermon and talk about it and try to stir it in and how is God speaking in your life. You reread the scriptures again and people are sharing. But you're building life together. You're sharing life together. This is the secret of how this church survived the last year and a half. In community with other people. We're doing this together. People speaking into each other's lives, praying for each other, encouraging one another, watching out for each other. Who is doing that in your life? I am so encouraged as a pastor. I beg you, please get in a small group. Hang out with other people. Bring Jesus into all this. You want to hang out with godly people. Especially in the tough times, man. Especially in the moments of absolute fear. Who's speaking into your life? Hezekiah had people like this in his life. And man, he's dealing with real stuff. And he had people speaking into him. Praise God for the people speaking in your life. Last note. You want to meet Hezekiah? Hezekiah is a case study in how a person would deal with fear. The last one is Hezekiah trusted and obeyed. He trusted God and obeyed. Isaiah comes and tells the king, don't worry about this. God has got this. And I love this. It's a really cool section. It says that Hezekiah gathered the people in the city together and his leaders. And I love how he encourages the people. This is a good leader. 2 Chronicles 32:7-8 and says, he says he gathered them all together and he stole from Joshua chapter 1. He said, be strong and courageous. He speaks to the people. He says, be strong and courageous. What's the opposite of fear? Courage. He says, don't be afraid or discouraged because the king of Assyria and the vast army with him, for there is a greater power with us than with him. With him is only the arm of flesh. But with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people gained confidence from what Hezekiah, the king of Judah, said. Man, I love that. Don't you love King Hezekiah? Isn't this guy awesome? Man, talk about a good leader. Every country needs good leaders. And we're called to pray for our leaders. The decisions our leaders make, we reap what they sow. It's refreshing to read a guy like this. He's amazing. People, for me, Pastor Frank, for me, I was just talking with some people last night. They're like, Pastor Frank, what was it like for you? I was talking with a couple that went with Israel with me with Jason Carson's group. So, And I was telling him, yeah, man, crazy time, last year and a half, you know, going through it just like everyone else, and not just personally, but also just being a pastor, and okay, I mean, like, here it comes, what is this, and do we have to lock down the church, and what's going on, and all this, right, and trying to get a handle on what's going on, and I mean, it's just, that was a crazy, come on, people, wasn't the last year and a half nuts? All of us went through it. All of us did. I'm a police chaplain in the city of Irvine. My other chaplain was talking with me. We just installed our new chief in the city. And he's like, man, how are you doing? And I said, hey. And he goes, man, people in my denomination, they're just quitting. Pastors are quitting. They can't deal with it anymore. So, well, yeah, it's been an interesting time. I love Hezekiah. This guy is a man of prayer. We prayed, people, and we prepared, we planned, we consulted. We had the doctors around. What we got to do? Wear masks. Check the temperatures before you come in. Every other row. Social distancing. How do we do this? What does this look like? How does this work? Ceilings and height ceilings and this, you know, trying to figure this out, right? What's happening and what's not happening? We were praying. We were planning. We're trying to sift through what is true and what isn't true in the midst of all this. What's going on? Consulting with each other and trusting God in the midst of it all. Amen? Amen. Trusting the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. Acknowledging God in all your way. He'll make your path straight. People, God is good. And if you think that God isn't good, then you keep watching, because he's not done yet. God is good all the time. And all the time. God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. He's good. He's got our back. And if we hit a season, we're like, I don't think he's too good right now. He's not done yet. You trust and you obey. You sift through the lies, you see what God is saying to you, and you put your head down and you plug through it. You just do it. You control your thoughts, what's real and what's not. Should I even be afraid of this? No. How about this? Yeah, maybe. Right? Working through, I love. You know what? So cool, people. When we read this guy, history records that he was an amazing godly individual who trusted God in his days with what was given to him, be it internally from his family. This is the cards he was dealt, and he dealt with it. Externally, these are the cards that was given him in his hand as being a king. And this guy had a lot to be afraid of. And this guy was one of the greatest kings in all of Judea. And for history to record that there was no one like him before him or after him is amazing. What will history say about you? What will your family say about you? Your friends, your work associates. When your days on this earth have lived them out, what will history say about you? See, your chapters are still being written. Your autobiography is being written today, and you're writing it out. And there are certain chapters in your book. Your book is still being written. What will your book say about you? Of how you lived your life? And how you tackled every circumstance and situation. My brothers and my sisters, I'm here to tell you that God is speaking into your life. God did not leave us in the last year and a half. He walked with us closer than ever before. He knew it was coming. He's sovereign. Nothing catches God by surprise. God can do what he wants, when he wants, however he wants, without ever asking you first. He's sovereign. He's way ahead. He just wants you to trust him. And obey him. Draw near to him. It's interesting. God says, because you prayed to me, Hezekiah, the city will be saved. Do you know that he never needed that water tunnel? Hezekiah never needed the 20-foot thick walls. Because God sent an angel of the Lord. One. Out to the camp of the Assyrians and slaughtered that army. And we'll talk about that in a couple weeks. Don't mess with angels. Actually, don't mess with God, because you'll lose. He's real. He's here. He's amazing. I pray that Hezekiah encourages you. He's a case study to me. I think this guy's incredible. Look what he went through and how he did it. I pray that he becomes a case study to you, and I pray these scriptures just speak into your life. There's a cool song that I've been humming and singing for the last 6 months called Spirit Lead Me. And what I love about this song is it speaks about emotions and truth. I'm not going to let emotions take me. I'm letting truth take me. And I'm going to ask the worship team to come up, and we're going to close by singing this song called Spirit Lead Me. And I want would you guys just open your hearts as you sing this and ask the Lord, God, speak into my life. God, am I making decisions based in fear? And where am I doing that at? Lord, am I making decisions based in faith? God, expose lies that maybe I'm believing. Help me, God, to be balanced in how I deal with life. Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters in here, God. I pray for me, Lord. Lord, we declare you're a good God. As we reflect on the last year and a half, all we can say is, blessed be the name of the Lord. In the midst of the chaos of this world, you are the fixed in a world of variables. You are the foundation in which we build our lives. Jesus, you said, he who hears these words of mine and listens to them is a wise man who will build his house upon the rock. And when the storms of life come, that house will stand because it's built on the person and the teachings of Jesus. Jesus, you're the Messiah, the Son of the living God, God who becomes flesh and walks among us, the God who loves us and paid for us on the cross. Lord, you're the one that says that in this world is trials and tribulations, and Jesus, you did not lie. These are crazy times. We cling to you, Lord. We trust in you with all our heart. We ask God today for your Spirit to fall upon us, for you've not given any of us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and sound thinking. We know you, Lord. We can interpret the world with a godly worldview because of you, Jesus. Thank you for your scriptures. Bless my brothers and sisters in here, God. Help them not to be afraid. May we live for you this day and always, in Jesus' name. Do I hear an amen?